A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You've got your garage dialed in. 60 by 40 centimeter Euro boxes. Everything stacks. Everything fits the 1200 by 800 pallet like it was designed by someone who actually uses shelves. Then you order a case of something from a US supplier, and it shows up on a pallet that's 4 inches too wide in every direction, and the boxes inside are 24 by 20 by 12 inches, which sounds like numbers, but means nothing to your shelving. 19 millimeters. That's the gap between a US pallet width and what your Euro boxes expect. That's enough to shift the center of gravity in a 5-high stack and send the whole thing over.
That's the width of a pencil, and it means the box either doesn't fit on the shelf or it hangs over just enough to catch your elbow every time you walk past. The box doesn't flex, and every layer you stack, that hang gets more dangerous.
Daniel specifically called out the US and China, because that's where a lot of imported goods come from, and those pallets and boxes are not the same shape. Small businesses are receiving palletized goods from suppliers who use whatever standard is local to them. You unload a shipment, stack your beautiful Eurobox tower, and the whole thing lists like a drunk sloth.
USGMA pallet, 48 by 40 inches, which is 121.9 by 101.6 centimeters. Chinese GB standard, 1200 by 1000 millimeters, or 1200 by 1100 for the square domestic pallet. And then we'll talk about what happens when you try to make these things play nice together.
The short version is they don't. But there are ways to make them not play nice in a way that's manageable rather than maddening. Daniel's asking us to lay out the three major pallet standards you're actually going to encounter. Euro, US, and the Chinese 1200 by 1000, and show exactly where Euro boxes fit, where they don't, and what you do about it. Dimensions in local units and in centimeters, because most of our listeners think in metric even when the pallet doesn't.
I want to flag something up front. This isn't just a measure twice lecture. The interoperability math gets genuinely interesting. On a USGMA pallet, you can fit 4 Euro boxes per layer, but with an overhang. On a Chinese 1200 by 1000, you also get 4, but you waste 20 centimeters of depth. Same box count, completely different failure modes.
So I had a pallet hanging 4 inches into the walkway for 3 weeks, while I figured out what to do with it.
That 200 millimeters is the recurring villain of this episode. The Euro pallet is 1200 by 800. The Chinese export pallet is 1200 by 1000. Same length, different depth. And that extra 20 centimeters means it doesn't fit on standard Euro shelving, it doesn't fit through some doorways that were sized for Euro pallets, and it changes how you stack boxes on it.
Let's start with the system everyone here already knows, and then we'll map the others onto it. The Euro pallet. EUR pallet, sometimes called the Europool pallet, is 1200 by 800 millimeters, standardized by the UIC and managed by EPAL.
And that's the key insight Daniel's question gets at. The Eurobox cares about pallets because its entire value proposition is modular, stacking across transport, warehousing, and retail shelving. The Eurobox system derived from VDA 4500 fits this pallet perfectly. The base module is 600 by 400 millimeters.
Which brings us to the two outsiders. The US GMA pallet, 48 by 40 inches, which converts to 1219 by 1016 millimeters. And the Chinese standard, 1200 by 1000 millimeters, which ISO 6780 recognizes as the most common pallet across Asia. Same ISO standard that lists the Euro pallet, by the way. 6 sizes, 1 document, completely incompatible geometries.
Here's why a listener should care. If you're sourcing modular storage in 2026, you're not just buying boxes from a German catalog anymore. You're on Alibaba, you're on global marketplaces, your parts are coming from Shenzhen on 1200 by 1000 pallets, and your warehouse or garage is in Ohio with GMA racks. The boxes don't change. 60 by 40 is 60 by 40, but the platform underneath them changes everything.
One box size, and the math of what fits where is not obvious.
Start with the U.S. The GMA pallet, Grocery Manufacturers Association, is 48 inches by 40 inches. In millimeters, that's 1219 by 1016. And it dominates North America for a reason that has nothing to do with boxes and everything to do with Cheerios. The GMA standard emerged because American supermarket chains needed a pallet that fit through standard 36-inch doorways and maximized truck trailer width. A 48 by 40 pallet, turned sideways, slips through a 36-inch door. Two of them, side by side, fill a 53-foot trailer almost perfectly. It was optimized for retail logistics, not modular storage.
The pallet that runs North America was designed around getting breakfast cereal into a supermarket aisle. And now your German-engineered storage boxes have to live on it.
And here's where the math gets unforgiving. A Eurobox is 60 centimeters wide. Two Euroboxes side by side need 1200 millimeters. The GMA pallet gives you 1219 millimeters of width. So you've got 19 millimeters of overhang. Not much, but it's not zero, and rigid plastic doesn't absorb it.
Let's walk the actual layout. 60 centimeters is 23.6 inches. Two Euroboxes side by side is 47.2 inches across. The GMA is 48 inches wide. So you've got 0.8 inches, about the thickness of your thumb, hanging off the edge.
On the depth? 40 inches for the pallet versus 40 centimeters per box. 40 centimeters is 15.7 inches. So you can fit two boxes deep, that's 31.5 inches, and you've got 8.5 inches of empty pallet behind them. Try to squeeze three deep and you're at 47.2 inches, which is way over the 40-inch pallet depth.
The best layout on a US pallet is 2x2, 4 Euro boxes per layer. They fit, but they overhang the width by 0.8 inches on each side, that's your 19 millimeters, and every layer you stack, that overhang compounds.
Now pivot to China. The dominant standard across Asia, Japan, Korea, Southeast Asia, and most Chinese exports is 1200 by 1000 millimeters. ISO 6780 recognizes it. And it's a completely different shape from both the Euro pallet and the GMA.
1200 millimeters wide, same as the Euro pallet, but a full 1000 deep instead of 800. It's a rectangle, not a squarish shape. And that extra depth changes the Eurobox math entirely.
Two Euroboxes wide fits perfectly. 1200 millimeters, exactly 260 centimeter boxes, flush to the edges. That's the good news. The bad news is the depth. One Eurobox is 40 centimeters deep. The pallet is 1000 millimeters deep. You can fit two boxes deep, 80 centimeters, and you've got 20 centimeters of dead space. That's almost 8 inches of pallet with nothing on it.
Or you run it the other way. Two boxes wide, one box deep, and you've got 60 centimeters of wasted depth. Either way, you're leaving capacity on the table. On a Euro pallet, four boxes fill the surface completely. On a Chinese pallet, four boxes leave a 20-centimeter strip of bare wood.
Here's the real-world version of this problem. Imagine a listener in Stuttgart ordering 60 by 40 Euro boxes from a German supplier. They're palletized beautifully on 1200 by 800 Euro pallets. 2x2, perfect fit. Now imagine that same listener importing automotive parts from Shenzhen. The supplier in Shenzhen doesn't own Euro pallets. They ship on 1200 by 1000. Your parts arrive, you want to transfer them into your Eurobox system for distribution across Europe, and suddenly every pallet layer loses 20 centimeters of depth.
Which means fewer boxes per pallet, more pallets per shipment, higher shipping costs. That 20-centimeter strip of dead space isn't just annoying, it's a per-unit cost increase every time that pallet moves.
There's also the less common Chinese standard worth mentioning, 1100 by 1100 millimeters, used mostly in Japan and for specific industrial supply chains. Euroboxes on an 1100 square pallet? Two wide fits at 1200 millimeters. Oh wait, no it doesn't. 1200 is bigger than 1100. So you can't even do two wide. You're down to one box wide, which is a disaster for efficiency.
That 1100 square pallet is the outlier that breaks everything. If you see one, you're probably in a specialized supply chain, and you already know what you're dealing with. For most listeners, the two that matter are the GMA and the 1200 by 1000.
The real sting is that both of them almost work. Four Euroboxes per layer in both cases. On the US palette, you get 4 with a slight overhang. On the Chinese palette, you get 4 with dead space. Neither is perfect, neither is catastrophic. But neither is the seamless modular dream the Eurobox was designed for. Knowing the dimensions is step 1. But what happens when you actually stack Euroboxes on these pallets? That's where the real-world friction shows up, center of gravity shifts and toppling risks.
Walk me through the physics of a 19mm overhang. At ground level, it's a thumb's width. 5 layers up, what are we actually risking?
Let's do the USGMA pallet. You've got your 2x2 layout of loaded Euroboxes, each layer overhanging the pallet edge by 9.5mm per side. That's half the 19mm total gap, because the overhang splits across both edges. Stack a second layer. Now that top layer's center of gravity isn't directly above the pallet edge anymore, it's shifted outward by 9.5mm relative to the layer below it. Third layer, another 9.5. By the time you're 5 high, your top box has drifted 47.5mm, nearly 2 inches, outward from where the pallet actually supports it.
The stack isn't just leaning. The weight isn't traveling straight down through the column anymore. It's cantilevering.
Each layer's tipping moment increases by roughly 2% per layer because the load vector shifts outward while the counterforce from the pallet stays put. At 5 layers, you've accumulated about 10% more rotational force at the base than you'd have on a properly fitted Euro pallet. Now add a forklift turning a corner, or someone bumping the stack with a pallet jack, and that marginal stability evaporates fast.
That's assuming your boxes are perfectly rigid, and your weight distribution inside each box is dead center, which it never is.
One box loaded heavier on the outside edge, and your 2% per layer estimate becomes optimistic. I've seen warehouse incident reports where a 5-high GMA stack of Euroboxes collapsed because the third layer had a slightly uneven load and the overhang amplified it. Nobody got hurt, but the cleanup took half a shift.
What do you actually do about it? Short of refusing to stack anything on a GMA pallet ever again.
3 practical workarounds. First, the cheapest, slip sheets. A sheet of corrugated plastic or fiberboard between layers spreads the load and adds friction. It doesn't fix the overhang geometrically, but it reduces the chance of individual boxes sliding. Second, edge protectors and strapping. Run vertical straps with rigid corner protectors and you're essentially clamping the stack into a single unit. The overhang still exists, but the strapping resists the rotational force. Never forget the calipers. Here's what I keep coming back to. Why should someone who's already invested in the Euro system even care about any of this?
You're nesting one pallet inside another. That's either genius or absurd.
A bit of both. It adds about 15 to 20% to your shipping volume because you're stacking pallets, and it adds the weight of the inner Euro pallet, roughly 25 kilos of wood per unit. But the stability is perfect. The boxes never touch the outer pallet. The Euro pallet handles all the dimensional matching, and the outer pallet handles forklift compatibility with whatever warehouse you're in.
For a listener, shipping a container of fragile goods from Europe to a US distribution center, that 15% volume penalty might be cheaper than a crush shipment.
The real world is a garage door opening and a delivery driver saying, "Where do you want this?" while gesturing at a pallet that's the wrong shape.
The fundamental geometry difference. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, is that the Euro pallet is a 12x8 rectangle. The US pallet is a 48x40 rectangle that's wider and slightly longer, and the Chinese export pallet is a 12x10 rectangle that's the same length but deeper.
The naive fix is to just accept it. You receive goods from Shenzhen on 1,200x1,000 pallets you unload, you transfer your Euro boxes onto Euro pallets for European distribution. That's the core of the problem. If the US pallet were, say, 48x32 inches, it would be a simple multiple of the Eurogrid, but it's not. It's 48x40, which is 12x19x10x16mm, and those numbers don't divide cleanly into anything European.
12 cents per unit sounds trivial, until you're shipping 10,000 units a quarter. Then it's 1,200 euros you're burning on dead air.
Which is why the smarter move is to never receive on 1,200x1,000 in the first place. ISO 6780, the same standard that defines the 1,200x1,000 pallet, also recognizes 1,200x800. The limits of standardization.
No, just poor planning on my part.
But here's the thing. This isn't just about pallets showing up at your door. It's about what you do when you're building out a storage system and you know, going in, that you're going to be dealing with multiple standards. If you're a small e-commerce operation, or a makerspace, or just someone who orders a lot of things from a lot of places, you can design for this from the start.
That's really what Daniel's getting at. He's not asking us to abandon the Euro system. He's asking us to understand what else is out there, so you can make informed decisions. Think of it as an interoperability layer.
It's the kind of thing that's easy to miss if you're new to importing. You're focused on unit cost, MOQs, lead times. Pallet dimensions feel like an afterthought until your first shipment arrives and your warehouse team calls you with, "These boxes don't fit our racks."
There's one more trap here, and it's the metric to imperial conversion sloppiness. You mentioned it earlier. The GMA pallet is legally defined in inches, 48 by 40. But how many suppliers, how many online listings, loosely convert that to 1200 by 1000 millimeters because it's close enough?
It's everywhere. A 48-inch pallet is 1219 millimeters, not 1200. A 40-inch depth is 1016, not 1000. Those 19 and 16 millimeter gaps sound like rounding errors, but rigid Euroboxes don't round. They're exactly 600 by 400 millimeters. They will not compress to fit a pallet that's been rounded down to the nearest 100.
Someone orders what they think is a 1200 by 1000 pallet from a US supplier who's done a lazy conversion, and they get a 1219 by 1016 GMA pallet. Their Eurobox layout that worked perfectly on paper now has an overhang they didn't budget for.
The reverse happens too. A European buyer specifies 1200 by 800, and a US warehouse shrubs and sends a 48 by 40 because it's basically the same. It's not. The aspect ratios are different, the overhang is real, and the stacking stability calculations we just walked through all change.
The lesson is, know what you're actually getting. If the pallet spec is in inches, do the conversion yourself. 1219 by 1016 is not 1200 by 1000, and pretending it is doesn't make your Euroboxes any more flexible.
Here's what I'd actually tell a listener to do next week. First, if you're buying Euroboxes and you know your supply chain touches the US or China, stick to the 60 by 40 centimeter size. Don't get tempted by the 30 centimeter depth or the 40 by 30 variant because they're cheaper or cuter. The 60 by 40 is the only footprint that gives you a fighting chance at a 2x2 layout on all three pallet types. Stray from that, and your fit problems multiply.
The 40 by 30. What's that? The shoebox Eurobox. That's going to rattle around on a GMA pallet like a single pea on a dinner plate.
It's worse than rattling. On a 1200 by 1000 pallet, a 40 by 30 box gives you 3 wide. That's 1200 exactly, fine, but only 3 deep, which is 90 centimeters, leaving 10 centimeters of dead space. On a GMA, 3 wide is 1200 millimeters again, but now you're overhanging the 1219 width by nothing on one side and 19 millimeters on the other. That's even worse for stacking stability than the symmetrical case.
The non-standard Eurobox depths are false economy. They save you a few euros per box and cost you a stable pallet.
Second move. When you're importing from China, write 1200 by 800 millimeter pallets into your purchase order. ISO 6780 compliant. Your supplier can source them, and they give you that 2x3 Eurobox layout. 6 boxes per layer, 0 dead space. You might pay a small pallet surcharge, but you eliminate the entire repacking step. Goods arrive ready for European racks.
If your supplier pushes back and says they only do 1200 by 1000,
then you know your per unit cost just went up by about 12 euro cents from the dead space and extra handling. Factor that into your negotiation. Either they absorb the pallet change cost or you absorb the repacking cost. At least now you know what that number actually is.
Third move. If you're stuck with US GMA pallets, maybe your warehouse is in Ohio and that's all you can get. Go 2 wide, 2 deep, 4 boxes per layer. Accept the 0.8 inch overhang on the width. But strap every stack vertically with rigid edge protectors. Don't just wrap it in stretch film and hope. The edge protectors turn the stack into a clamped column, and that's what resists the rotational force from the overhang.
I'd add, if the load is heavy or fragile, spring for the double pallet strategy. Euro pallet nested on top of the GMA. Yes, it costs more and takes more space, but it's the only way to get perfect dimensional fit on a pallet that was never designed for your boxes.
To recap the actionable bit, buy 60 by 40, specify 1200 by 800 from China, and if you're on GMA, strap it like you mean it.
That's the whole playbook.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1927, the Belgian Colonial Postal Service in Rwanda Urundi accidentally printed a stamp series depicting Lake Tanganyika with the shoreline of Lake Kivu, an error caused by a clerk in Brussels swapping two reference photographs in the engraver's file. The misprinted stamp circulated for 11 months before a geography teacher in Bujumbura noticed the discrepancy, by which point nearly 400,000 had been sold, unintentionally creating one of Central Africa's most sought-after philatelic curiosities.
A geography teacher in Bujumbura caught what an entire colonial postal bureaucracy missed. That's somehow deeply satisfying.
11 months of wrong lake. I respect the commitment to the mistake.
Here's the thing I keep coming back to. ISO 6780 already lists 6 pallet sizes. They're all in the same document, all officially recognized, and none of them are fully interchangeable with each other once you introduce rigid modular containers. That's not a standard. That's a truce.
A truce where everyone agreed to nod politely and keep using whatever their grocery industry picked in 1960.
The question is whether that truce holds. Automated warehouses are the wild card. Robotic palletizers and autonomous forklifts don't have national loyalties. They have dimensional tolerances. An Amazon fulfillment center in Kentucky with robotic retrieval systems doesn't care that GMA is the American standard. It cares that the pallet dimensions are consistent enough for the gripper arms to not miss by 19 millimeters.
You're saying the robots might force standardization because they're less forgiving than humans with pallet jacks.
A warehouse worker can nudge a slightly overhanging stack into place. A robotic arm programmed for 1200 millimeter width will fault out at 1219. But the counter-argument is that automation also makes regional fragmentation cheaper to sustain. If your entire fulfillment center is calibrated to GMA, and your supplier's entire factory is calibrated to 1200 by 1000, the software just compensates at the handoff point. You never need the pallets to agree. You just need the API between the two systems to translate.
The robots could go either way, force convergence or entrenched divergence. An ISO 6780 listing 6 sizes suggests nobody's in a hurry to find out.
Which brings me to what I think is actually the more interesting near-term development. 3D printing and custom fabrication are getting cheap enough that adapter frames are becoming a real thing. Instead of nesting an entire Euro pallet inside a GMA pallet, 25 kilos of extra wood, you print a set of corner brackets that snap onto a GMA pallet and create a 1200 by 800 footprint on top of it.
A pallet adapter that's basically a plastic rim. Weighs what, a few hundred grams instead of 25 kilos?
And if someone open sources the design files, any listener with access to a large format printer or a CNC router can make their own. The 20 millimeter gaps we've been talking about, 19 here, 16 there, those are exactly the kind of tolerance problems that a well-designed adapter frame can absorb. The frame takes the dimensional mismatch, and the Euroboxes sit on the frame as if they're on a native Euro pallet.
The long-term fix isn't getting the world to agree on one pallet size. It's making the adapter layer so cheap and accessible that the mismatch stops mattering.
That's my bet. And I'd love to hear from listeners who've already built something like this. If you've hacked together a pallet adapter, 3D printed corner shims, or figured out a clever strapping pattern that solves the overhang problem, send it in. Show at myweirdprompts.com. We'll share the best ones.
The world's not standardizing anytime soon, but your garage might.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other modular storage obsessives find the show.
At least the US pallet is so obviously wrong that you don't try to make it work. The 1100 square pallet tricks you into trying.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu, if something odd is in.
your head. Send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.